Welcome back, listeners, to Movies, Music, and Madness. And this show is the second part of the wonderful first show we did, which we took you guys to our very own chef's table. And we had some fantastic dishes in there. So we're going to, we got to the main, so we're going to wrap that up with the dessert, and then I got a couple of questions to fire at the boys. This is all ad hoc. They don't know what's coming, so it will be nice. That's good. So dessert time. It's getting towards the end of the evening. We've had a nice starter. We've had a mains. We've had a nice chat, a kōrero. Everyone's happy and laughing and talking, which should be done over food, with food. It's a wonderful thing
quite,
for that.
Quite pissed, thanks to Martin.
Yeah, Dave's had
two pretty hammered, mate. Who makes the dessert?
Dave's been smashing the margaritas and snorting the Maggi tagine
packets.
So, is there any takers? Who wants to go first with dessert? We'll make Martin last because he's got the drinks.
I'm ready.
Okay, Glenn. Well, okay. Here we are. We're at the door.
All right. Well, come on in for a wonderful dessert, a rich dessert, but also fresh as well. So this is a sweetened cream thickened with gelatin and molded together, a cream that may be aromatized with coffee, vanilla, or other flavorings. Served with fresh berries or a sharp cooling. What could it be?
Nothing like a sharp coolie.
Oh, nothing like a sharp coolie. So let's play a bit of music and we'll see which country this wonderful dessert, beautiful dessert, has come from. Let's go.
Curious.
That's pretty impressive piece of music. That's the wonderful Nessa Ndorma, which is by a piece for an opera called Turandot. Obviously, it's from Italy.
It's goddamn epic. It's epic.
It's extraordinary.
I can see you whipping that up in your kitchen.
Oh, it's extraordinary.
Panna cotta?
Yes, panna cotta it is indeed. I've never actually made one yet, but I will one day. And I found out a little bit about what the song is. I was like, oh, I really love that. And I heard it recently. Someone was singing it at a Waitangi Day celebration. And I was like, holy moly, the guy just like on the stage. Just delivered. And again, it got the same reaction from the crowd as what happens there. Anyone who does it and does it well just seems to floor everybody, which is quite cool. It's from Turandot, and it's an aria from the final part of that. And it's a hilarious story by the looks of things. It's sung by Caliph, who's an unknown prince who falls in love at first sight with the beautiful but cold princess Turandot. Any man who wishes to wed her must first answer three riddles. If he fails, he will be beheaded. And in the aria, Caliph expresses his triumphant assurance that he will win the princess. And that's what the song's all about. Obviously made famous by the three tenors and Pavarotti, who obviously had quite a lot of panna cotta in his day.
Who knew? Who knew that that song was about that?
I know, exactly.
It's essentially dessert singing.
Lost
isn't
in
it,
translation.
Can't believe it.
I know, and he's like, yes, I will do this. I will win this. And he blows a valve.
He became one. Became one.
She must have been. She must have been some woman.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's
beautiful, but
well, he's some man.
He's some man.
I love the fact that his name, he's Caliph, and he's an unknown prince. We don't know much about him. So, yeah, brilliant. Giacomo Puccini's opera. Yeah, brilliant.
Thanks, Glenn. That's great. Thanks for informing us about that.
Bellissimo. Yeah, I agree. It's extraordinary. Every time I hear it, it's like, wow.
Thanks, man. Dave, right. What have you got for dessert, my bro? Oh, it's gone. Okay. No, he's back.
So he's made it. Here's one he prepared earlier.
Here's one I prepared earlier, fellas.
No.
I've gone for another quintessential, quite exquisite Italian dessert. This one, though, typically layers coffee-soaked lady fingers. Probably giving it away there with a cream. Ladies' fingers with a mascarpone. Is that mascarpone?
Al Capone.
Mascarpone mixture, creating a luxurious blend of textures and flavors. Lady fingers are briefly dipped in strong brewed coffee, sometimes enhanced with a touch of liqueur, lending them a moist, rich flavor that forms the base of the dessert. Any takers?
Tiramisu.
That is delicious. 100% spot on.
And my Italian desserts. That's all I'm going to say.
Very good. Very good. Very cool.
Do you make that one?
Me?
No. I eat that one.
If I see it, a gluten-free one on the menu, I always pack it. Like, yeah, I'll eat that.
I'll eat that.
Always. Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying to make it. But, I'm going to put on another bit of Dean Martin because, well, Dino, he's all class. One of the Brat Pack. This one is Volare. Volare, is that it? I think it's Volare. Here we go. Volare. Cantare. Oh, let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion.
Do you think that, Martin, it's just a form of a fancy trifle?
That's sacrilege, sir. How dare you?
How dare you? Go back to where
How very
you came.
Dare you, sir?
Get back under your rock.
Oh. Very English, isn't it? Like, is it just a fancy trifle with a different type of custard?
Yeah, you won't get many English people putting coffee in their trifle, I've got to say. It's not done.
No.
Just wondered. No, we put jelly in it, don't we?
Wonderful. David, we all love a good tiramisu. And Martin, what did you have a dessert, or were you given us a drink to end the evening?
Well, your drink can be your dessert.
Ooh, so, cocktails.
Cocktail time, yeah, absolutely. So you guys got a favourite cocktail?
Oh, it varies. I go through phases. Sometimes I quite like them short and boozy, but if you're thinking a cocktail like that, it's got to have a dessert one, got to be slightly creamy, sort of luxurious and rich on the taste, and it lingers.
I've not drunk a lot of cocktails, to be honest.
Oh, that's so expensive.
Yeah. Dave, are you a cocktail man? Chan?
I am, but I honestly don't know what I'm drinking half the time.
So I couldn't name them. Just anything, eh?
Just, I'll drink it.
If Dave's at your party, he's just going to drink it, man.
Yeah Dave, try us. Well, okay, cool.
Sweet. Boom. Martin, what have you got for us?
Our last one is cocktail time. And I thought we'd end with a bit of sophistication in class. So I'm just going to play you a nice little tune. a duet just to kind of see us out on our ambience.
In some secluded rendezvous that overlooks the avenue, with someone sharing a delightful chat of this and that and cocktails for two.
Cocktails for two.
As we enjoy a cigarette.
Yeah, so that was the wonderful Mr. Ray Charles.
Ray Charles. And
it's from an album of duets that he did with a singer called Betty Carter, who I'd never really heard of before at all. But it's a cool album, yeah. So, and it's actually called Ray Charles and Betty Carter. And the song's called Cocktails for Two.
Smooth.
That was very smooth, wasn't it? That's a lovely way to end an evening of fine dining and good conversation and some nice drinks. And the thing is, I mean, I think we've made most of these dishes. What I conclude with the desserts is desserts, you know, it's a tricky game. It's normally a messy procedure. There's normally flour and eggs, sugar. There's melting things, and there's lots of pots and pans. There's a lot of work goes into a good dessert. I'm not a dessert maker myself. Definitely more of a mains kind of guy. But I actually chose the same dessert as Dave. The tiramisu, but I've just in that little space of time there managed to get something else that I can stick in there as well. So I've decided to go for a bit of a Kiwi classic for a dessert. And I was obviously short of time and we didn't want two tiramisus in one night. So I thought I'd just whip these bad boys out.
Tastes good.
Weren't they chips?
You're bringing out the chips.
I'm bringing out the chips and dip.
Oh, with dip.
Yeah, with dip. Oh, good man.
One of our listeners of our show, Shane, I remember going around to his flat one day and him and his mates were like eating chips and ice cream as a dessert.
Have you ever had ice cream with olive oil?
No.
Beautiful.
Really? Wow.
Absolutely. It would probably work.
If you can get some lemon infused olive oil.
I do have some.
That with ice cream is insane. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah. With a high quality vanilla.
Yeah, I think just a vanilla because you want to get the lemon there and I got told by this from an olive orchard lady down in Martinborough. We went to look around.
Oh, nice!
And I thought she was totally taking the mickey. And to top chef's tip: olive oil and ice cream is a winner.
Fabulous! I'll try that.
Lemon infused. Minor point, but pretty important.
Yeah, maybe, or a grated, get some lemon in there maybe, but it definitely does something. Try it, you'll see. I have no doubt that our listeners, there are probably many of them that enjoy a good cook up in the kitchen, maybe you could flick us a link to a favorite recipe you've got, and maybe some tunes that you would like to share with us as well, because we always enjoy a bit of audience participation here on the show. It's nice to hear what people are into. That kind of brings us to the end of the show, but I do have sort of two questions that I want to flick around with the boys and just see what they come up with. The idea was to kind of maybe get a bit of world music in there as well with this show, which has been nice to have some of that stuff. But question number one, is there any world food that you have recently tried that's worth a mention? And if so, is it somewhere you've been out and had it that you can maybe give a little plug? If anyone's skipping around the city or wherever, that you can think, I had a good, lovely meal in there. I'll start while you guys have a think. I was recently in Wellington, and I've harped on about this a few times with Martin, I think. But I went to a great Burmese restaurant called Mabel's. I don't know what street it's on, but it's in Wellington. And I got a real, real pleasant surprise. It wasn't expensive. It was really good value for money, really lovely atmosphere. The quality of the food was absolutely bang on the money. So if you want some Burmese food, Mabel's is the one in Wellington. That's for me. Yeah. And how about you fellas? Anything that sticks in your mind that you might have tried recently, in or out?
Not recently, but it's a continued favourite of ours. Tends to be for birthdays, special occasions only. We have the amazing Great India restaurant sort of just across the street from us. And they did one of their specialty dishes. It's called a murg masala. And it's basically like a tandoor chicken dish. The chicken's on the bone. It comes with this amazing naan called Rajini naan. And they're sweet, like a sweet naan bread. I think it's like egg yolk that they use on it. But it's just amazing. They do it for two people, but it's always way too much. So we end up kind of like, you end up with like two little containers full of the chicken and the sauce. And we kind of like decanter the sauce into like one and freeze it. So to have it later on and marinate some more chicken in it and do it again. But it's to die for. That's my one. Murg masala.
Nice. Sounds good.
Nice. I will put a plug in for two places. There's a little Malaysian place called KK Malaysia in Wellington City that does an absolutely amazing curry laksa. And the other place is, I think it's called Home Style. It's just called Home Style Restaurant. It's a Chinese restaurant on Willow Street, and it has the most amazing Peking duck. If you've ever tried Peking duck, this place is, I reckon, it's right up there. And it's one of our go-to places for special occasions as well, Martin. So yeah, definitely those two places for me, I reckon, are pretty good.
KK Malaysia, nice. Okay. Glenn.
All right. I'm going to pick Apache in Wellington. I've only been there once. I think I went with David on my birthday. It was very nice. It sort of similar Vietnamese sort of fusion place. I can't really quite describe it, but certainly more Vietnamese based. Absolutely fresh flavors, lovely, well presented, super friendly people. Yeah, great. And I think it's still, you've got to book or get in advance get in, because it's one of those real popular ones. But I've found it to be quite delicious. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. Okay, that's good. And I just think it's always really important to give places a little bit of a push if we're reaching out to a few people just to help the smaller businesses. Tough game, the hospitality trade. So if you're around and about, take those tips and go and visit those people, please. I've now just thrown a question to at the boys. They're going to have a little search. I'll jump in first while you guys are having a good think about this and maybe whipping something up on Spotify if you can. But we're also just a quick scoot over any world music, any albums perhaps of a different sort of, you know, different flavor. Yeah, why not? Let's use that word. Different flavor that springs to mind. Could be a new one, could be something you listened to a bit. Here's one of my favorites. I've mentioned him on the show a few times. There's a Spaniard and his name is Jarabe de Palo.
La placa duerme de día, dice que así el hambre engaña, y cuando cae la noche baja a bailar a la tasca, y bailar y bailar y tomar y tomar una cerveza tras otra, pero ella nunca engorda.
And that's one of my all-time favorites. He's called Jarabe de Palo, spelt with a J. The album's called La Flaca. If you like some nice Latin stuff with a bit of a beat and a groove, it's not traditional by any means, but it's got a real nice flavor going on through that album. And yeah, go check him out. Any takers, guys? Anyone ready with anything lined up?
Yeah, I can get us going. When I was probably like 16, 17, a friend of mine who was also into music a lot kind of exposed me to two bands or two different musicians that were completely outside of my sphere that I would never have gone near in a million years. And I ended up loving both of them. One of them was Anushka Shankar, Ravi Shankar's daughter. And I saw her play at the Royal Festival Hall in London.
Oh, wow.
We were an insane group of musicians. And at the end of the gig, went outside. And while I was outside, Ravi Shankar was like 2 feet away from me. And I didn't turn around and say anything. I was too freaked out the fact that I saw Ravi Shankar. But yeah, that was pretty amazing. But the one I've got for you now is a band called Shakti. And they feature jazz guitarist John McLaughlin and an amazing tabla percussion player called Zaka Hussain, who is just on another level, really. But they're a really cool band, and I'm going to play you a little bit of a track off the album The Believer, and this is 5 in the morning, 6 in the afternoon. Of the way for the gig, the tabla player, Zaka Hussain, sat down on the floor on a little rug with another tabla player, and they did a tabla solo. But as they were doing it, they vocalized it. And they play at some speed. I'm not kidding you.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, it's like off the chart. It's insane. Like it's like just the weirdest, you know, they're playing like these really complex times, but they're vocalizing what they're doing it. And they're just coming on just like it's just the most insane sound, but how they do it at that speed, no idea, and it floored me. I was just like, you know, that's just so far on another level. It was just ridiculous.
Have you got the album name? Sorry, Martin, did you say it there?
That album's called The Believer, and the band is, yeah, remember, they go by either Shakti or Remember Shakti. Yeah. And I think, yeah, there's four guys in the group. One's I think like an electric mandolin or an electric banjo player. I can't remember now, but something electrified. And yeah, they're phenomenal. Really good.
Good. Good shout out. Nice. David, Glenn, you got anything lined up, fellas?
Yep. I've got something lined up. Yeah, this is a Irish band that draws heavily on traditional folk Irish music, folk music. However, they twist it. I wouldn't say it's trad, but it certainly draws from a lot of that sort of traditional folk tunes. And they put their own sort of dark twist on it. They were going to be appearing at WOMAD this year, but unfortunately couldn't make it. It's a band called Lincoln, and this is sort of the tail end of a called Master Crowley's. Yeah, it's something that I've started to listen to a little bit. However, you've got to be in the right sort of mood for it. Kind of makes Nick Cave's Murder Ballads album seem like a pop album. it's quite dark. You know, they talk about stories of, you know, Irish stories from way back, and the dark stories of murder and mayhem and stuff like that,
which they do well. That's what the Irish do well.
And it's amazing, this Irish quartet, Lincoln. Apparently their live shows are extraordinary. They play up to 30 instruments in one gig
at one time.
Yeah, not at one time, no, but over the course of that evening. Apparently they're more like a seance, but quite in an uplifting way. So they were an act I was going to come up to watch at WOMAD, but unfortunately they couldn't make it. So
instead they gave us Morcheeba.
and Siki Mali. If I get the chance.
Good.
I'm going to go see these guys.
Good on you. What's the album called?
False Lincoln.
False what?
They're like Lincoln. Lankum. And it came out last year.
Great. Thank you, Glenn. Dave, anything worldly for us there, mate?
Hey, mate. No, sorry, mate. I've stopped doing world music.
You've stopped. Well,
that's fair enough.
Stop doing
work
it, mate.
And go and get.
I've bought too many CDs from Bolivian fucking folk bands.
Panpipes
in Cuba Moore.
Panpipes are us.
Home, and then go, yeah, this sucks. It's not nearly as good.
You want to stop drinking the margaritas, mate.
It's funny when people say they're going to WOMAD, I always think Peruvian nose flute players. Okay. But it's so not like that.
No. But you've proved my point. World music, in my view, needs to be experienced.
Agreed.
You go to WOMAD, right? You don't chuck on the WOMAD record. You go to WOMAD, right? And it's the same thing. It's like when I get those CDs home, it's like, it's just not nearly as interesting. But when you see them play, and the way they engage with their audiences is like nothing else. So I love world music, but I've kind of given up listening to it because I think it's something that you kind of need to go and, well, for me at least, I need to go and see it. And so I love Cuba Duper and all that sort of stuff, because you go there and you just see stuff that rocks your world, but as soon as you buy the CD and you get it home, it's like, what happened? Yeah.
That's fair enough, mate. I'm a little bit surprised because, I mean, culturally, Dave, you're into your martial arts, your kung fu, and do you do Tai Chi, anything like that sort of stuff?
No, we don't do that to music. No, that's only in the movies.
Right.
Because it looks
like
looks
everybody cool. Like kung fu fighting.
That's the one.
That's the best Tai Chi class you can ever go to.
It's actually more, truth be known, it's more for hip hop people than kung fu people. It's quite a popular hip hop song.
Okay, that's fair enough, man. Yeah. I wonder if the listeners, again, if they could just chuck a world album at us or something like that, something you listen to that's...
Okay, so I've got a question. Back at you, mate. So do you consider Gangnam Style, the Korean hit from about 10, 15 years ago, do you consider it world music?
Well, I guess, okay. Right? It's Korean,
about K-pop and like J-pop and Kanto pop?
Yeah.
But that's all crossed over, right? It's all part of
it. Yeah, I mean, that's like saying, like, are you too, like, world music, right? Because,
are they?
It's pop, isn't it? It's not, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, because I mean, I like a bit of Gangnam Style now and then.
Actually, no, it doesn't count. You lay off fucking tracks. I gotta say, man.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
No, because
if I met his, you know, Psy or what is it, BTS or someone like that, then I think if it's on the WOMAD bill, then it's like, oh yeah, gotcha. If it's not, then it's like, oh yeah, it's not.
Okay. You're right.
I went to WOMAD this year and with my partner, and we went on the Sunday, and I just felt a little bit disappointed, to be honest, because I think the acts were a little bit average. They're getting very, very samey. If you're thinking of going to WOMAD up in Taranaki, it's an expensive weekend. Make sure you do your homework and check out the artists and the song lists. And they normally have a Spotify playlist of the WOMAD year, which is, there's some good stuff on it, but yeah, a lot of sort of very vanilla, boring, same old. However, lads and boys and girls, listeners, yes, hallelujah, we are at the end of the show. And I've completely lost my shit. I've lost the camera, there it is. Yeah, we're at the end of the show. Happy Easter weekend, everybody. And I won't say anything bad, I'll just shut up now. Thank you for listening. We appreciate all your support, blah, blah, blah.
Thanks, Ian. That was good. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry? Who's hungry?
It's 10:02 at night, and I wouldn't mind a piece of panna cotta.
What about the tiramisu?
Oh, delicious. Yeah, I'm hungry.
I'm off to make a margarita or five.
Put on you.
Gangnam Style.